This evening. I don't know why, but I think every year I get to preach on Wimbledon final night and get a very small audience because of that. So thank you for choosing the better thing tonight for being here. If you would like a Bible, Cameron is poised with a Bible for when we come to the point we're going to read our scripture. But before we do, I want to start this evening. I want to kick us off with a question. So I'm asking you all a question. With the vast proliferation of travel books that are available and blogs, and I think I've got this one right, vlogs, is that right? But especially we've got now high-definition TV, travel programs that it makes it seem like we're right there. Why is it we still take the time and the expense and the trouble to travel? Well, I'll answer for you. Because there's nothing like being there. There is no substitute for seeing it with your own eyes, is there? Now, for me, just a classic example for me of this was a few years ago, or quite a few years ago, I'd taken the time and the expense, quite an expense, to take my family back to New Zealand. And my favorite place there in New Zealand is a place called Lake Te Kapo, if anyone knows it. It's renowned for its beautiful scenery, but it's also renowned for having some of the clearest air in the world. And I'd heard and seen pictures of the famous night sky at Lake Te Kapo. And we were there in our first evening. Andrea and I got our wish for a clear night, and we stepped outside, and we turned our eyes up, and this is what we saw. The Milky Way almost completely covered the sky. It was unbelievable. We stood there open-mouthed, seeing it in reality with our own eyes. We were speechless. Seeing the wonder and the awe of God's creation in the stars. And we stood and we just soaked it in for what seemed like hours. The reality, seeing it with our own eyes, just was so much incomparably better than anything we'd seen or heard or read anywhere else. And I guess that's one of the reasons behind that well-known saying, seeing is believing. But I was thinking about this. Maybe is that still right with the advent of artificial intelligence and deep fakes and all this sort of thing? But actually, yeah, maybe even more so now. Seeing with our own eyes is believing. And that leads us to what I believe is one of the most challenging things for us, any of us who are attempting to follow Jesus Christ, to live a Christian life, I think that one of the most challenging things is something that is expressed for us in 2 Corinthians 5:7. This is what I call a hard truth. We live by faith, not by sight. I find that as a really hard truth. I really wish that was not the case. It's so very hard to live a life of faith when everything in our mind and experience is crying out to us, if I could just see him for myself, it would be so much easier to believe. And that's completely natural because as material human beings, it's the things that we can touch, it's the things that we can taste, it's the things that we can see that seem and feel to us as the real things. And yet, the amazing truth and the reality and the wisdom of God is that actually it is the spiritual things, it is the unseen things, the things that we can't and don't see that are real and are true. That those are the things that have real value. Those are the things that have absolute substance. And those are the only things that actually have permanence. It is the unseen things that deep within our soul are something that longs for, hungers for. And yet our nature finds it so hard. It's why when sometimes we sing that song, and I believe we're going to again tonight, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. And it expresses some deep yearning and longing within our heart. A longing to see and know. To see and know who it is and what it is that we place our faith and trust in. And yet we know that physically we cannot see him. That is hard. That is a challenge. It is a struggle in our Christian life. And Jesus, he recognizes this. And he says to Thomas in John 20, verse 27, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. But I'm getting way ahead of myself, and I think it's time we read our passage for this evening. It's very short. It's only five verses at the end of Mark's Gospel. So it's Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, and verses 9 to 14. Now, when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After these things, he appeared in another form to two of them, as they were walking into the country. They went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. I'm just going to pause for 1 minute here, because a very brief explanation that in most of your Bibles, these verses are either in brackets or in italics, or there's a wee line that separated them from the rest of the gospel. And a note to say that these verses are not in the earliest manuscript. I'm a simple soul, so I'm going to give you a simple fact and simply say that there is nothing in these verses we're looking at this evening other than what is corroborated in the other gospels. There's nothing here that is new, and we're going to refer to most of them anyway. So what is happening here is Jesus is pulling up his disciples because they do not believe the eyewitnesses, those who say that Jesus is risen and they are witnesses to it. For all of them, this kind of second-hand report isn't good enough. They needed to see him for themselves with their own eyes before they would believe. It's only after seeing him for themselves that they would be convinced that they could believe that Jesus really had risen again from the dead. Now, I don't want to be too hard on them. And it's an opinion that's expressed by Thomas again in John chapter 20, again, verse 25, where Thomas says, unless I see him, unless I see in his hands the marks of the nail and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. I kind of get where he's coming from. I understand that. It's a valid point for us as well today. This is very valid because there is no such thing as vicarious faith. All that means is living and faith through other people's experiences, not an experience of our own encounter, our own heart being touched by Jesus Christ personally. A second-hand report wasn't enough. Second-hand faith isn't good enough either. We, each one of us, individually, personally, must come to that point in our journey of understanding, our journey of faith, where our understanding changes from behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, John 1, a general accepting of the facts of Jesus Christ and who he was and what he did, to the words of Galatians 2:20, the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It has to be personal. It cannot be relying on the word of others and the experience of others. We have to acknowledge personally that we believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and is who he claims to be, that he is Lord over me, that he is Lord in my life. And so the question that we have to ask is, where are you on that journey? Are you relying on the faith of other people, on what other people are saying and their experiences, or is that personal to you? I believe that the faith, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, moving on from these immediate passages in the passage in Mark, there's a theme when we look at the other three Gospels as well, where this time, with those in Mark, they wouldn't believe a secondhand report. Here it is, seeing is believing. Or is it? Is it really? Matthew 28:16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then the passage that's referred to in Mark 16 were the two people who are traveling to Emmaus. And in Luke 24:16, we read, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Then in verse 36 and 7, as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace to you. But they were startled and frightened, and they thought that they'd seen a spirit. Verses 40 to 41 of that same chapter. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, and they still disbelieved. And then in John's Gospel account, we read in chapter 20, verse 14, of Mary, referred to in our passage. She turned round and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And lastly, chapter 21, verse 4, just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. This time, it's not an example of not believing the report of those who have seen the resurrected Lord. But this is, they have seen the resurrected Lord with their own eyes, but they still didn't, couldn't, or wouldn't believe. Here it's more a case of they couldn't believe their own eyes. It's like Jesus said in Matthew 13, seeing, they do not see. So what's going on here? Why this struggle to believe that Jesus was risen from the dead? Yeah, we live now by faith and not by sight, and that's really hard. But even for those who saw Jesus with their very own eyes, they were struggling to believe, because faith is a struggle. God is described as the invisible God. Jesus hasn't physically walked on this earth for nearly 2,000 years. How can we believe? How can we see him who is neither here nor visible? How can we be expected to live by faith? How can we be expected to believe when we can't see? Or can we? Ever since Adam and Eve's eyes were opened to their nakedness in the garden when they sinned, their eyes at the same time were blinded to the truth. Paul explains this in 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this world has blinded the eyes and the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. In our natural, sinful, limited, broken state, we are all blind to God. We're all blinded by the devil's lies to the glory of his person. We're blinded from, stopped from seeing and recognizing that Jesus is the Christ and that he is risen from the dead in victory. And the important thing that we note if we think about it and read the context is that in all of these gospel accounts, there is something that is missing. There's one ingredient that is missing and why they are not seeing. Because what opens our eyes of faith? What is it that allows you and I to see God, to see Christ, to believe, to walk by faith, to see the unseen, believe spiritual things in all times and in all generations? It's God's own Holy Spirit that was missing at that time. You see, and it makes sense, it's rational. Faith and eternity and knowing and seeing God, these are all things in the spiritual realm. And so to see spiritual things, we need the Spirit of God working in our hearts. He opens not our physical eyes, but he opens our spiritual eyes, what the Bible calls the eyes of our heart. And it is through the work of the Holy Spirit and that alone is how we can know and how we can see him. Our Savior knows this. And just before he went to die and rise for us, he promises in John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare you to you the things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Thankfully, that is what Jesus Christ is doing now, today, for you and I, through his Spirit, who he has gifted to us to be ever present with and in us. That's what he does. He opens the eyes of our hearts to see the Lord himself. Father, Son, and Spirit. And I was challenged thinking about this. Do we ever ask him, open the eyes of my heart, Lord? I want to see you. I believe that through his work, through the work of the Holy Spirit, we can see God. We can believe. We can see him in all his glory and truth. We can see him as declared in the person of his Son, the risen Jesus Christ. And I believe we can do that in three ways. We can see the Lord in the majesty and the glory of the creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, Psalm 19. The Spirit can cause us before and after becoming a believer to see something, but just something, of the glory and the majesty of the Creator in his handiwork. The second and the most important way that we can see him is in God's living word. As we read and as we meditate on God's word, as we listen to it, expounded to us and preached to us. Because as we've read, the Holy Spirit opens our eyes through taking the scriptures so that we can see Jesus Christ in every page of our Bibles. And as he will reveal to us the Father, so we can see him through the work of the Holy Spirit, taking the living word and applying it to our hearts. And then, as Jake was praying this morning, he prayed that the campers would have seen Jesus lived out in the life of the leaders. So the Spirit, as he works in those around us, in the miracle of repentance, and the miracle of someone coming to faith, a new life, and then being transformed into the image of his son, we see Jesus Christ again. And it is our responsibility, but it's our incredible privilege and blessing to prayerfully look for, to prayerfully see and give thanks for every time we see Jesus, whether it be in the majesty of his creation, whether it be in the glories of his word and the depths of his word, or whether it be in expressions in his children. And this is everything we walk by faith, in addition to the truth of God's word applied to us by his Holy Spirit. Prayer is essential. The Spirit's work is to open our eyes that we might see, but prayer is essential. And we have very good biblical precedents for this. Way back in 2 Kings, a prayer for another to see, Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he might see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. Then Paul, again writing to new Christians, he prays a similar essential request for them. A couple of examples. Firstly, in Ephesians 1, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Again, he prays for the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4:6. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened us and enlightened. And this encourages us to pray that the Spirit would open our eyes that we might see. For the eyes of our hearts to be enlightened to his wisdom and knowledge and glory. But also for the eyes of the hearts of other believers in our family of faith, that they might be constantly shown more and see more. And that the eyes of those who have not yet seen him, that we cross paths with, that they too might be opened, because it is only the Spirit of God taking the word of God that will open our eyes to see him. As well, the Lord himself encourages us to seek his face, to see him and know him. David's prayer in Psalm 27, Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, Seek my face. And my heart says to you, Your face I will seek, Lord. And Lord gives a wonderful promise way back in Deuteronomy 4:29. You will seek the Lord your God and you will find him if you seek him with all of your heart and with all your soul. As we've already thought, opening our eyes to see and believe is primarily the work of the Holy Spirit. But there is also work for us to do, to see the Lord, that we can seek his face. The language there suggests it, doesn't it? If you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul, it's saying there that that takes effort. This is a process. It's not like an instantaneous press this button and download. It doesn't work like that. No, seek with your heart and with your soul. That takes dedication. It takes time and it takes effort. Our Lord wants to reveal himself to us. He wants us to see him. That's what he does. That's what the Holy Spirit's work is. He desires for each one of us to see him and to know him. And then he gives us some instructions on how. We've acknowledged the Spirit's work and the prayers of us and others. So let's just look for another few examples and hints from the living Word of God of how we can seek his face. What that looks like And the big question, how do we actually do that? How do we seek and see the Lord? And it's good, just, I've not put them up on the screen. I want you just to listen to the language. Colossians 3:2. Set your minds on, or think about things above, not on earthly things. Hebrews 3:1. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. Look to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Fix your eyes not on what's seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. What is it that we put before our eyes? What do we think about? What do we consider? What do we spend our time meditating on? Please, this is not me saying, don't go there, don't look at this. This is because I want to encourage you to something better, a better vision, a greater thing, that which is the source of life itself, to know him. It's an encouragement of a better vision, of better things. But how do we see him? How do we fix our eyes? How do we set our minds? How do we consider? How do we look to Jesus? David did a brilliant talk this morning for the children, and he spoke about the different gifts, and one of them was the encourager. And I've got an encourager, and she encourages me to be practical. So I want to finish with a story and a bit of a madcap suggestion or challenge of just one thing, just one little thing that I think can help us to see him, that will open the eyes of our heart. Now, the Morris family, and me in particular, we've got a bit of a reputation for being rather speedy eaters. It really only becomes apparent when we've got gifts. And the first time that poor Amber, our daughter-in-law, was at our place for dinner, I think she was on her second or maybe third mouthful when I was getting up for seconds. Speaking of fixing our eyes, when that happens, as it very often does, I get the fixed eye from my wife. Does anyone else know that look? The fixed eye from your wife. Slow down. Take your time. Chew properly and enjoy it. Now that reminds me of something that I learned as an agriculture student many, many moons ago. There is a group of animals that are called ruminants. Ruminants, they are animals like cows and sheep and goats. How they eat is when they eat, they chew. And then they chew again. And then they re-chew. And then they chew once more for good measure. And then they do this lovely thing of regurgitating. And they chew it again and repeat the process over and over. The whole thing is that they extract every little bit of goodness out of each mouthful before they swallow it. They take their time. So my suggestion on how we might fix our eyes, fix our minds, think about, consider, look to Jesus, is just a simple little idea. Every day, put aside some rumination time. What do I mean by that? Take a verse, take a truth, take a thought, take even just a word, and ruminate. Ask the Lord to open your eyes that we would see Christ in it. Chew on it, revisit it, mull it over. Take your time and then do it again. Extract the goodness, every last piece of goodness, and that will help in some way. Personally, I find it's most effective if it's something considering the Lord himself rather than something about a broader doctrine. Take the time. Take maybe just one of his character traits, an action, a reaction a glory, whatever, from his word. And just ruminate. If you do, I am convinced that you'll find, at least to some degree, the eyes of your heart will be just opened a little further. You will better see the unseen. You'll better see the Lord himself in a new glorious light, and that makes it easier to walk that difficult walk of faith, not by sight. So can I leave you with a challenge? Try it for a week. Take one truth about Jesus from your quiet time every day and ruminate. Now, you all know it's really meditation I'm talking about, but it's just a way for you to remember. And it's a little bit less New Agey than talking about meditation. That's all it is. Take a truth, think it over, pull it apart in your mind, and delight in what it teaches you. So we're going to finish on a slightly higher note than rumination time. All of this that we've been speaking about tonight is so that we might see our Lord more richly and more clearly, because seeing is believing in that sense. But we can only see when it's the work of the Holy Spirit speaking truth in answer to our prayers and diligently seeking his face. Living by faith and not sight is hard, but it's not impossible. And we've got a wonderful promise to finish with from 1 John 3. Dear friends, we're already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. The eventual, the eternal reward of seeking his face is forever to be with him, to be like him, and to see him with perfect clarity. That's an amazing promise. So let's just close in prayer. Lord, it is so hard. We so want to see you. We are creatures of the seen and the touched and the felt and the experienced. So I want to ask for myself, for each one here, that by your Spirit, that you would open the eyes of our heart that we might see you. That each one of us, tomorrow and every day this week, would just see something of you that would just draw our hearts closer. And Lord, if there are those in our families and our, even in this place tonight, who have never seen you, never recognized that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that you are risen from the dead and have risen to conquer death and bring salvation to all who would believe. Lord, help us to believe. Open our eyes, for we ask it in Jesus' name.